You might have noticed that Pat and I are pretty fussy about our finances and our investments.
Yeah, a lot of junk doesn't make it past our bullshit detectors. But one thing that we've both used for many years is ShareSite. It records all dividends, franking credits, transactions, and performance easily in one place.
You can generate reports for income and capital gains, which makes tax time super easy. And ShareSite is completely free if you have 10 holdings or less.
So we've partnered with ShareSite to help support the podcast and provide all our listeners who upgrade to a paid plan a saving of 33% off the annual plan price. If you start with a free plan using our link, you'll still get that discount if you upgrade to a paid plan in the first 60 days.
Just head to ShareSite.com/fire and chill to get started.
Welcome to the Fire and Chill podcast, a collaboration between Dave from Strong Money Australia and Pat from Lifelong Shuffle, where we're going to have regular conversations about fire, investing, and living your best life. Hey, we are back again with another episode of Fire and Chill with your hosts, Dave and Pat. Today, we're going to discuss a really interesting topic, and that is semi-retirement and alternative fire plans. So this really doesn't get enough attention. It doesn't get as much attention as it deserves. That's the idea that semi-retirement, semi-fire, whatever you want to call it, is probably a really great option for a lot of people. But everyone seems to get really excited and get really into the whole fire thing, and they try and aim straight for full fire right off the bat.
You can understand why, because that's the most gripping, most exciting kind of a goal or position to be in. But I think there's a little bit too much of this all or nothing kind of situation where people think, well, if I can't achieve that in 5 or 10 years, what's the point kind of thing, which is a little bit unfortunate. So we'll talk about that middle ground today and how you don't have to do it in 10 years and save 70% of your wages and stuff like that. There's a really healthy middle ground that we think is probably underappreciated by a lot of people and can be a really good goal in a lot of cases.
Yeah, as you said, like that's the problem with fire. It takes such a long time. And it's also, generally speaking, a lot of people get into the fire scene in their young 20s, mid-20s, like late 20s sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that is really the time of a lot of people's lives where a lot of other things are happening. They're getting career progressions, they're buying houses, they're starting families. And you can't just delay all those other bits of life that are really important so that you can chase this financial goal. So it really may be the case that going on a slightly different path, which is an alternative fire plan, may be better off for you and it may be better off for your family.
Yeah, definitely. So let's just start discussing how semi-retirement or semi-FI can work and what the benefits and the trade-offs are, and hopefully help you consider whether it's going to be the right path for you to take. So let's just start with what is semi-retirement, Pat? Let's define that for a minute.
So to me, semi-retirement is a state in which you don't need to have a full-time income to sustain yourself. So you could pretty well argue that a lot of people in the fire community could get on a semi-retirement plan right now because they have such low expenses, even before they've saved a single dollar. I know it's the case for me because our expenses are so low here. If I went part-time right now as a sort of semi-retirement plan in inverted commas, I would probably be fine to cover all of mine and my partner's expenses right off the bat with no reliance on my savings or my investments whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting thought in itself, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
The idea that, well, I've got some savings here and I've got some investments, but we could actually manage just fine working part-time, maybe even just one spouse working part-time. It feels empowering, I reckon.
Yeah, it's very empowering, and it's always like a devil on your shoulder. It's right there tempting me all the time. It's like, why are you doing this, Pat?
Is that how it feels for you?
A bit, because I know we could get by with a part-time income. I will caveat this by saying people in a lot of professions, myself included, it might be difficult to get a part-time job where I'm on the same high salary. So it might not be the case that I could go part-time and have enough money because I might have to go to a less demanding role to be able to do it part-time.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Not every job can be switched to a part-time role, can it?
No, definitely not.
That's an interesting example you brought up there because I, from telling my story, I wanted to get to that 100% financially independent stage and I only realized we were there at the very end. So I didn't have that nagging thing over my shoulder. It just never occurred to me that we were living on less than one wage so we could, you know, technically semi-retire on just working part-time. So I never had that devil on the shoulder like you had, Pat. That's an interesting kind of little problem to have, isn't it?
It is, because it is an interesting kind of thing that's in the back of my mind, because there is all those temptations to get on with it. And I do want to, in a way, just get on with it. But I'm still here, I'm still working, so I think
let's be honest, it's probably those days where you're at work and you're like, oh, I don't want to be here. You're just not having a good day and then your brain starts wondering, why am I still doing this kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. But every day at work or every year at work does bring more freedom and more security to the whole FIRE picture. So it's not it's definitely not a waste. It's just a matter of making the choice that works best for you at whatever point in your life that you're at.
All right, let's bring it back to defining semi-retirement. I think another common situation is where people are getting towards the traditional retirement age. Maybe they've paid off their house. A lot of people, when they do pay off their mortgage, a weight's lifted off their shoulders and they feel like they can actually slow down a bit and transition into sort of this semi-retired kind of lifestyle. But that usually happens much later for most of the population. But we can actually do that a bit sooner, the people in the FIRE community, obviously. So these people might not have investments as such. They might just have a paid off house, which reduces their expenses dramatically. And that gives them enough freedom and flexibility and a bit of it's almost like a safety net, because half your expenses maybe have just disappeared with these mortgage repayments. So that can give them the freedom they need to reduce work and start feeling a bit good about that.
Yeah, and that obviously works into the fact that your primary place of residence isn't considered in the income or assets test for being able to get the pension. So this happens super often. And it also happens super often because people are generally terrible at saving money, but they're okay with paying off a loan because it's just they're demanding it off them. So they're able to get their home paid off without too much trouble, I'll say, without too much mental anguish. It's just something they know they have to do. And then once they do get to retirement age or pension age, they get the pension. And that is a reasonable quality of life if you have a paid off home.
Yeah, definitely. I think another example that we haven't mentioned here is that you can obviously, because maybe some people are in a situation where they, even if they work part time, it's not quite enough to cover their expenses. So another form of semi-retirement is where you simply transition into part-time work and you've already built up some savings and investments and you can use your investment income to cover the gap between your part-time income and your expenses. So that's another really good way to structure it and consider semi-retirement at that point, I think. And that can happen a lot sooner than people think and much sooner than it takes to reach traditional financial independence.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but that's one of the benefits of going for a semi-FIRE phase. You might get into this part-time work and you find that you're completely happy with this lifestyle and you don't want to reduce your work hours any more than you already have. But that's probably a really good segue into our next section, which is the benefits of semi-retirement.
And Dave, there's a lot of them.
Well, why don't you speak to this?
There is a lot of benefits, Pat. To start with, it allows you to retire sooner, which is good in itself. And you obviously don't need as much savings and investments to get you there. And in many cases, I've run the numbers on a few different scenarios. In many cases, it'll shave 5 years or more off your financial independence journey. And I think we didn't mention this, but I think a good time or a good position to be in to consider yourself as being in a really strong semi-financially independent state is when you've gotten to about 50% of the way. I just think that's a really comfortable and strong position to be in.
Yep.
Reaching halfway towards your goal and then switching to a part-time work and a living half off your investments and half off off work income at that point.
Yeah.
What do definitely. You think about that?
I think as a good rule of thumb, that's probably a great option.
It's arbitrary in one sense because 50% of your goal, it almost doesn't mean much because it depends what your income and expenses are. But I think reaching that 50% threshold is, it offers you a pretty strong mental kind of benefit at the same time. A psychological, gives you a bit of a psychological strength in the background there, knowing that at least half of your expenses are covered by your investments, no matter what happens.
Yeah, it is psychological and it is mental, and people may not feel comfortable going to a semi-retirement phase before they have at least that much. But once you do get over that hurdle, those weights, I feel, start getting lifted off your shoulders. That definitely happened in my case.
Because you feel like, okay, I've passed the halfway mark. I'm more towards the finish line than I am towards the start.
Yeah, it feels more real.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just some fantasy you have in your mind. It's like, oh, well, this is getting more real by the day or more real by the month.
And I think we have to remember, a lot of us shoot for complete financial independence, but in all likelihood, we will then eventually earn some sort of income and do some sort of work or projects or income-producing hobbies later on and find that we don't need as much as we thought we did in terms of investments and investment income, because we end up producing income from other sources of things that we end up being interested in and wanting to pursue with our extra free time.
Yep. And did this happen to you and your partner?
Oh, yeah. Like, we're in the stage now where we're both happy doing what we're doing. We're both earning some income in our own ways. And then it almost, I want to say it almost feels a little bit silly. Oh, we didn't really need to save and invest that much for that period of time, because you think, well, we could live a pretty good life like this. Right now, we're pretty happy with the situation we've got. But we couldn't have known that earlier, of course. It's no. only being in this position now and understanding that that's the way it is. But I was one of those people who never knew what I would do after retirement. I never even thought about it. I didn't even care. I just wanted to get there. And I thought, I'll just figure it out later. If I don't know what to do, that's still a pretty good problem to have than having to go to work every day. But being on the other side, so I couldn't really plan for that sort of situation of a part-time income. So that's why semi-retirement didn't really feel right for me, because I didn't have ideas in mind of what might fill that kind of workspace and maybe that income space. But I definitely think that it's so close to inevitable for most people that they'll go on and earn some income later and end up finding themselves needing much less than they thought.
Yeah, fair enough. I suppose it's just taking that leap.
Yeah. And so another benefit of semi-retirement is that you can have more days off than you have work days. So currently, a lot of people will work the standard 5 days a week and have 2 days off. But what if you can switch that around and work just 2 days a week and have 5 days a week off? How awesome is that?
Most people would be super happy with that situation.
I think if you ask most people at a workplace, that would be the idea of heaven on earth.
Maybe they just can't think of anything any better than that.
Everyone gets super excited about a long weekend. So this is like a super long weekend every single week.
Yep. It is super appealing. Even to me, just sitting here thinking about that right now. These benefits just continue. Dave and I have a list of 10 or 12 here. So another one that's next on the list is, because of the ingrained habit of saving and investing that you've built up over the previous 5 or 10 years, you'll probably manage your money in such a way that you still have a surplus and that you're still going to be investing as time goes on, even with a part-time income. So your investments will just continue to grow over time, even while working a drastically reduced schedule of, say, 2 or 3 days a week.
Part of it, like you said, is habit. And part of it is we probably, as a community, we could enjoy the feeling of progress and being in a bit of a strong position. So imagine you've got your expenses are 40 grand a year. You're bringing in 20 grand from your investments each year. You can go out and earn 20 grand from part-time income, but you'll probably feel more comfortable earning 25 grand a year or something like that. So you'll probably want to manage your money in such a way that there's a little bit of a surplus, and yep, that'll allow you just to trickle in some money every now and then into your investments and keep the ball rolling a little bit.
Yeah, and add some of that security and stuff that you probably desire as well.
So part of that security, like you were saying, is if you switch to a semi-retired lifestyle, you get all the lifestyle benefits that come with that, but you also get the mindset benefits of someone who is essentially financially independent because you have that control over your time much more than you did before by undergoing this kind of transition, and you'll get the feeling that I'm in a pretty good position because I only need to work a little bit to sustain ourselves, and we've got these investments here. So there's like the practical benefits, but also like the mindset benefits that comes with that. So you'll have this feeling of like kind of confidence and control over your life more so than you did before.
Yeah, definitely. And with all of that additional free time, if you're working 2 days a week and you have 5 days off, those additional 5 days, you could find yourself being able to develop some of those ideas that you've had or being able to pursue other interests that may end up bringing some income in and allowing you to quit the job that you're just doing because it's a job. So it gives you the time and space to explore your passions and your hobbies while still being in a secure job if that's important to you.
Mm. Yeah, good point. And also, I think we need to remember that most of us are still, even if we retire at a reasonably young age or leave the traditional workforce at a reasonably young age, we're still going to end up with a decent pot of superannuation money that'll be there when we need it eventually. And I think for people who want to retire maybe in their 30s or at least transition down, their super, well, I can tell you now, my super is not very much. It's not even six figures, my super, as that'll be left there by itself to compound over time, and it'll grow into a respectable pot by the time I'm 65 or whatever the age is that I'll be able to access it. So that almost serves as like another kind of cushion or backup plan for the future that I think some people that are going to retire early kind of dismiss super a little bit because it is so small, it's hard to imagine it becoming worth much in the future.
Yeah, but on the flip side of the coin, there's a lot of people that count super into their FIRE plans and they've already factored it into their plans. So I don't actually agree with that, probably because I'm a little more conservative. I like to think of super, like you just said, like a backup plan or a bonus when I get to that age. And I'd like to build outside of super the full FIRE plan by all on its own. And then just whatever comes from super comes whenever it does come.
It's definitely the case that you could build up, get to the stage where you've got enough super by the time you're, let's say, 35 or 40, where you can switch to part-time income, and then that super will be enough to fully retire on, and you can work part-time from 35 onwards, basically, and then fully retire on super. But that might not be the right kind of strategy for you. That doesn't feel like a very appealing strategy for me, Pat. I don't know about you. What's your thoughts on that?
No, that's not really appealing for me. I'd prefer to have investments outside of super, certainly. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be on part-time work without investments that I could draw upon if needed.
Yep, yep.
So we'll just keep rolling through these. Retiring could be like a really daunting prospect for a lot of people, like going from 100% straight to 0%. They could be worried that they're not going to find what to do, throw them off balance. They're not in a routine anymore that has put a structure to their lives. So going semi-retirement is really appealing because it lets you gradually step down your workload, and you could find a sweet spot where you're perfectly happy, or you could work your way down to zero and you find that you're perfectly happy there.
I think this is a big one because I've had a few readers that has been in this position where they can actually leave work, but they're just not sure, and they wanted to, but now that they can, they're feeling very anxious about it. And they're not sure what they would do because part of the issue, I think, is that we attach a lot of our identity to the work that we do. And so if we don't have that, people feel like, well, who am I kind of thing. If we don't have that job role that is filling our time and everyone knows us as being that guy that does that thing, who are we and what do we do? So that can be extremely daunting for some people. And I totally understand that's the case because you spend all your life doing something and then you stop doing that, what are you going to do? So I get that. But I think that's why semi-retirement is such a good idea because you can transition from 5 days to 4 days to 3 days, and then you can start building, if this is one of your issues, building this little identity for yourself outside work. Okay, I like to do these activities, but maybe you're not sure, so you can start actually experimenting and doing different things and trying out different hobbies and activities that you would like to get engaged in outside of work. And you can start to build this lifestyle that's separate from your work life, and then you can transition much more easily and improve that balance between work and lifestyle, and do that over time rather than all at once and have all this pressure. Okay, now I have to create this lifestyle with all this free time. So I think that's definitely a good point to make, that it's much less of a shock to your system.
Yeah, I can totally relate to this, especially in the position I am in now. I work stupid hours, like maybe not the most stupid of all professions.
We're doing this podcast on your lunch break. Is that right, Pat?
Sometimes it feels like that, Dave, because I do work a lot of weekends and it's hard to squeeze these podcasts into the weekends I have off. But we're managing pretty well.
Sorry, continue.
I feel like I can relate to this because going from full-time to 0% is a shock. But if you work more than full-time like I do, like 50, 60 hours a week, going straight from that to zero can definitely be quite difficult or quite a shock. So don't necessarily want to do that to myself all at once. So it'll be something that'll be much better managed if I go from this excess full-time down to just full-time to begin with.
That's a good start.
That's a good start. And then work my way down from there.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know this is something that was concerning for you.
Yeah, probably more lately, more as it becomes more real instead of just a fantasy in the background. It's something I've spent more time thinking about. And I am in that part of my life as well where there are going to be a lot of changes. And so I don't want all of those to hit me all at once. And as we discussed in our last episode, I've got this house I've just bought.
Steph and I,
yeah. No, it's our primary place of residence that just happens to have a tenant is in it at the moment.
Okay. I'll accept your technicality.
Yeah. So moving out of Sydney, moving from apartment living to house living, reducing workload, perhaps starting a family, all of this all at once could be definitely quite a shock to my system.
Those are huge
changes, and all in a very short span of time. So I'm thinking now about how I can spread all that out to occur over the course of maybe a few years even. And that way I can transition more gradually and slowly into these big important events in my life.
And I think this point that we're talking about is a really prominent one for some people. So I think we could even do a future episode about this, how to transition and stuff like that in practical terms. Because I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put that one on the list.
So transitioning into your new life also gives you a lot of time to do things that mean more to you than your current job does. So this might be things like spending more time focusing on your health, or spending extra time with your family or your kids or pets, or working on your hobbies, or anything else that you want to do outside of work that you currently don't have time for, working 5 days or even 6 days a week. Getting a couple of days extra back in your life can give you the extra time and the extra space to really give these other things the attention that they deserve that you might not have that much time for right now.
Yeah, definitely. Bring some of that freedom forward to spend it now when it may be more useful to you, to be honest.
Yeah, good point. Good way of saying it, actually, yeah. Because that's what you're doing, really. You're bringing that freedom a bit forward more.
Yeah, exactly. And this one is pretty important and may not be completely obvious to a lot of people. In the vast majority of cases, if you semi-retire, you will still become fully financially independent eventually in any case. Because as your portfolio grows more than inflation and you're covering a lot of your expenses with part-time work, that will just continue to compound in the background. And you'll get to a point where you don't need to work anymore, but you can still choose to if you want to.
I think this point might be a little bit overlooked. Because if you think, if I semi-retire, that means I can't fully retire. They think maybe I'll be stuck in this semi-retirement state until maybe traditional retirement age. But that's definitely not the case at all. Because like we were saying before, you probably manage your money in a way that you're able to add some to your portfolio, or maybe you're living off the income while the portfolio keeps compounding in the background. So in almost every case, you'll still become fully financially independent at some point.
Oh, yeah. Because when we talk about the 4% rule or the 3.5% rule, like that rule of thumb is for some of the worst case historical scenarios and to carry you through those scenarios if you just so happen to experience them within your FIRE lifetime. In the vast majority of cases, if you're getting a 4% withdrawal rate from your portfolio and you're sticking to that 4% withdrawal rate, in something like 95% of cases, your money ends up doubling over the course of your lifetime anyway. And in a, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but in a small amount of cases, say 20 or 30%, your money ends up like tripling or quadrupling, even with the 4% withdrawals.
And that's assuming no flexibility and a few extra other assumptions that we went into in our episode on how much you need to retire.
Yeah, exactly. So semi-retiring, if you're still drawing 4% or less from your portfolio in the background, that is just going to compound away and grow dramatically while you're doing that.
Another thing I think is a little bit overlooked is due to you earning a lower income in this semi-retired state, you'll also be on a much lower tax rate than before. And so while that sounds like a little bit of a small advantage, it's actually a bit better than you think, because let's look at it this way. If you're earning the same income, but you're on a lower tax rate, you're actually going to be earning more after tax for the same hours of work, which is putting a higher value on your time because your net pay is going to actually increase. So you actually get a bit of a pay rise for working less, essentially.
Pay rise per hour is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you work a certain amount of hours, you get a certain amount of money, you got to pay tax. If you got to pay less tax, you effectively got a pay rise.
Yeah, precisely.
So it kind of gels in with the semi-retirement attitude because you're putting a higher value on your time and receiving a higher value for the time that you put in at the work that you continue to do.
Yeah. So even if you go down to 2 days per week, which is 2 out of 5, you may find that on an after-tax basis, you're still earning, say, 3 on 5 of what you used to earn as a full-time employee, which is great.
And obviously, the final point that we'd like to make in this area is that most people, or not sure if we should say most, but many, don't actually want to stop working entirely. So a semi-retirement situation may be perfect for these people because maybe you enjoy your current job and don't actually want to leave it. So ideally, you can perhaps just switch to something that's a bit more part-time or some sort of contract role instead. And that will work with your lifestyle a bit better, giving you more free time while staying at this job that you might enjoy.
Great point. But Dave, why don't you tell us a bit more in practice? How would semi-retirement actually work? And you did cover this a little earlier in this episode, so maybe we won't spend too much time and we'll just go through it a bit more in detail down below.
Yeah, so like we were saying before, you can really technically semi-retire with any amount or even with no amount at all because of how the numbers work and living on part-time income. But I think we can probably agree, Pat, that a good kind of benchmark to shoot for is that 50% mark. So we can call it like the 50% rule if we want to make something up. Let's make up our own term here. Yeah. Let's call it the 50% rule.
Dave and Pat's 50% rule. Rule of thumb, not actually a rule.
And so this can either be that half of your spending is covered by investments, or you can reduce your expenses by about half, maybe by paying off your house. So for maybe like a $50,000 spending household, your mortgage might be $25,000 a year. And obviously we're making these numbers up. But if you were to go ahead and pay off that mortgage over time, you've effectively reached this 50% rule because 50% of your expenses have just disappeared. So I would consider that the same as if you'd kept your mortgage and instead had $500,000 or so in investments, because the outcome is effectively the same.
Yeah, and you actually see this quite a lot of when people finish paying their mortgage, they relax a bit and they no longer have to be so aggressive in chasing down promotions unless they're that way inclined. They're just a super ambitious person. But this is actually quite a natural thing to happen once that monkey is off your back, the mortgage monkey.
Because I think for a lot of people, it really lowers their stress levels. And I think that comes from the fact that their living expenses are now much less than before. This big chunk of money that used to leave their account every week or every month is now just sits there because it's building up because that mortgage has disappeared. So I think being in that kind of position really helps people, relax, like you said.
So in practicality, what does this actually mean? Instead of saving 25 times your annual spending, you might need only 12 and a half times. So a $40,000 spender, instead of needing $1 million, will only need $500,000. which is clearly a much more achievable target for a lot of people and a target they can reach much quicker. So if you were going to reach FI in about 16 years...
And that would be if you were saving, say, 50% of your pay, that would be the rough kind of journey estimate, that we'll call it.
Yeah, then you may be able to get to semi-retirement in 10 years instead, which is...
So that shaves 6 years off your journey and still puts you in a pretty strong financial position. You get the benefits of all of the things we discussed earlier while still eventually reaching financial independence at some point. And so you would basically just spend 4% from your investments each year. And in our example here, that's about $20,000 a year. And the rest you would cover with your part-time income to top up the rest.
Yeah, and covering this part-time income, just look at those numbers. If you're a 40K spender a year and you've got 20K covered by expenses, you only need to earn another 20K a year, which is super achievable even for the lowest income earners in Australian society. Like, you don't need a lot of hours to hit that 20K, especially when you consider that we have a tax-free threshold up to, what is it, at 19,200 or 18,200?
Yeah, when you add in the tax offsets, it's actually around about spot on $20,000.
Yeah, so you will end up earning that 20K with not a lot of effort whatsoever and getting taxed very, very little.
And even so, looking at the minimum wage, which I believe is around about $21 an hour at the moment, might have just changed, but it was around about that last time I checked. So even on this minimum wage, to earn 20 grand a year or 25 grand a year, that's around about 3 days of work per week. And so for a couple, that's 1.5 days of work each per week. That's not very much at all. That leaves a whole lot of free time.
So if they were being conservative and they each got 2 day per week part-time jobs to give them a buffer, they're cruising.
At minimum wage too. And most people earn more than minimum wage.
Yeah, precisely. So most likely, as you said, you're going to be earning more than minimum wage. So at the median Aussie wage, it's less than 2 days a week, which is less than 1 day a week for each person in a couple.
So it's much more achievable than you might assume to cover this gap in spending here. And just a bit of a side note, you were saying before, Pat, how you guys could live part-time just on... You guys could live just on some part-time income alone. We're in that situation too, where my partner's two-day-a-week job covers about like 3/4 of our spending, which feels crazy when you think about it, because one person just working a couple of days a week covers two people and a dog's household spending. That seems like just seems almost crazy to me.
Do you feel like a fire phony? Like you didn't actually
totally. If you do any sort of work after you leave your full-time job or earn any sort of income, you're obviously forced to do it, and your whole story is just bogus, obviously.
This is unraveling by the second, Dave.
I think the internet retirement police, as they're called, I think they're onto that pretty quick to cross out your name on the FIRE achievers if you earn any sort of income after leaving work.
Yeah, you're not retired at all.
No. And it would basically be the same for you, right, Pat, if you guys switch to part-time income, even just one of you guys working part-time, your bills are pretty much covered.
Oh, for sure. And just a bit more on what you were saying earlier. Let's say the internet retirement police are correct and you're not actually retired. What does it matter exactly? Let's say, worst case scenario, you're going for this like full FIRE plan or this semi-FIRE plan and life circumstances get in the way and you don't quite get there. But you've managed to set yourself and your family up for life because you've saved several hundreds of thousands of dollars that are now put you in a comfortable, secure position. If that is like the second place prize for going for FIRE, then I think getting second place is pretty damn good.
I'll take second place any day if that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. So it's such a stupid discussion to have. You're not going to get there, or you're not really retired. Like, who cares if you're not? Like, you're in this super comfortable position where you only need to work part-time, or you need to work full-time, but you don't need to like absolutely grind, put yourself to the grindstone to make ends meet. Super great position to be in.
People just like to moan, I think, about what other people are doing. I think it maybe makes them feel a little bit better about what they're doing.
Tall puppy syndrome. Here we go.
Yeah, possibly. So I think part of this point also, it highlights how, I want to say how good we have it here in Australia. We're able to earn pretty good incomes, let's be honest. And if we can keep our cost of living under control, look at the amount of our freedom you can create. Without even having any investments, you're able to live comfortably. Both Pat and I are pretty happy in our respective lives, and you would only have to work part-time to cover that kind of lifestyle. That kind of shows you how good we have it here, I think.
Yeah, we have it super good. Like, between Steph and I, we're on, I'm talking spending here, probably 50K a year these days, maybe 55 if we're pushing it on a bad year. And I think over 20,000 of that is just rent payments.
Mm, yeah.
So our kind of expenditure other than accommodation costs is only 30 to 35,000 a year. Super easy to cover with part-time work or if you pay off the house. Yeah, I don't actually remember where I was going with this, but for some reason it came to mind.
Well, I suppose what we're trying to say here is how much of an opportunity we have to create freedom in our lives, which is essentially what this podcast is all about, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah. Definitely.
And you also might have guessed it by now, but the lower your spending is, the easier it is to cover with part-time work. So the more achievable semi-retirement situation can be for you.
Yeah. And this leads really nicely into what we'll call alternative FI strategies. Something in the FI community that's called Flamingo FI and or Coast FI.
Can we just stop and say that there's too many FI acronyms? It's too much, man. I find it confusing. This is maybe this is the old man coming out again.
Yeah. Lean FIRE, Fat FIRE, Coast FIRE, Flamingo FI, Part-Time FI, Barista FI.
Nah, too much, man. It's either fire or it's semi-fire, and that's it.
Shoebox FI.
That's a new one to me.
Caravan FI. I don't know. I'm just making them up now.
See, there you go. If you told me that was a real one, I'd believe you.
Come on, Dave. Let the kids have their fire.
No, I like to keep it simple because I think when you have too many different options, it overwhelms people and they can get a bit confused. Oh, I don't know what one's right for me. And they feel like there's this big learning curve of all these different things. They have to figure out what's the best for them. And so it's better just to keep it kind of simple, I think, especially when you're trying to bring people on board and get them involved and get them making some progress and making some changes.
Yeah, yeah. But they all have the same sort of base, I'll say. It's all around living within your means, saving the difference, and doing that a bit more aggressively than your regular Australian or your regular first world country citizen, which by the statistics save less than 5% of their income.
All right, so what is Flamingo FI, Pat?
So Flamingo FI is pretty much what we've been describing here, which is semi-retirement. You get halfway to FI, then you semi-retire and you go into cruise mode. So the difference is that you live completely on your part-time income once you hit this cruise mode. Mm-hmm. So that means in 10 to 15 years, as your investments are continuing to compound in the background and you're just living on your part-time income, you will become FI eventually.
That's a pretty good situation, I think.
Yeah, and it's exactly what we described earlier. You could find yourself in this situation pretty easily.
Okay, so how about Coast FI? What's that?
Coast FI is a slight variation on this, with the only variation being that you set that initial savings and investment amount such that you get to full FIRE by the time you hit traditional retirement age. So you could say you're currently 30 years old and you might decide that you'll have $200,000 saved up so that by the time you get to 65, based on your calculations of average returns over 20, 30 years, or 30 years in this case, sorry, if you're 30 years old, that you'll have $1 million by the time you hit that 65 years old, and that's enough for you to fully retire on.
Adjusted for inflation, obviously.
Adjusted for inflation. These numbers are all in real terms.
And so that number will be a lot lower, won't it, Pat? Because you're essentially saying, okay, I'm gonna reduce to part-time work now, but I only need to hit my full FI number when I'm 65. So that leaves you a big long runway for these other savings to compound in the background. So that will occur on a smaller amount of dollars than the other examples that we're discussing, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is the opposite of how most of society saves for retirement. Most of society waits until they're 10 or 20 years out and they start freaking out and they want to shove as much as they can into superannuation. But in this case, you bring that forward to more at the start of your career.
Yeah, and you front-load it.
really long runway for it to compound.
And that, if you want to just live a traditional life in terms of work or working in whatever capacity until you reach traditional retirement age, that can be a good solution.
Yeah, definitely.
That's, it's going to make it much easier on you later in life and give you a lot more choices because, you still have to work until traditional retirement age, but at a much lower level. So in terms of hours that you have to work, so it's still much better. You just simply can afford to live on part-time income.
This one isn't for me. I think we said it earlier, you too, Dave. But it's an option for traditional retirement age, people that are interested in that.
Yeah. All right, so let's just cap off with a few other thoughts about semi-retirement. I think one other idea is you can also just, as your savings and investments build over time, once you've started your financial independence journey, you can also just reduce work one day at a time. When you get to, I don't know, 200 grand of investments, maybe you drop a day of work. When you get to 400 grand, you drop another day. You see where my example's going there? And you replace that lost income or some of it with part-time income from your investments at that point. And you do this very slow transition over time, one day at a time. And obviously that won't work for everyone because you can't just at every job just, oh, I'm going to reduce one day now. So it's not quite that simple. But if you're in the position where you can do that, that's definitely an option to consider.
Yeah, and this works probably a bit better if you are doing contract work or freelance work, or if you have an own business that's quite successful and it's established and you have people you can trust. So you could definitely work this in with certain types of employment.
And what do you think about the idea of retiring on the basics, so covering all your basic living expenses, which might be quite low if you keep that things pretty simple, and then working part-time to pay for the luxuries? Maybe you want to do some extended overseas travel or a few other things that are going to cost quite a bit of money each year that you haven't really built into your regular living expenses. So if you, I'll get your thoughts on that but in a minute, Pat, but I was thinking you retire on much less and much sooner, just living on the basics, but then you mentally separate these luxuries from the basics and you just use your part-time income to pay for those other luxuries. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I suppose that could work. It doesn't sound appealing to me personally. I would prefer to save a bit more and have it compounding in the background, and that way I can pay for some luxuries out of my investments. But I could see how that would work like that. Is that a popular option or is that something talked about a lot?
Look, to be honest, it could be something that I just made up.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Because I wrote an article about semi-retirement maybe a year or two ago, and I actually wrote this idea in the article. So I thought if you retire sooner with a smaller amount of money just to cover your basic living expenses, which is probably going to be still a pretty decent life in Australia, but then you also want to add in a few other luxuries that aren't really optional, but just extra spending that you feel like having in retirement. Mm. I think retiring sooner and doing it this way and working part-time to pay for the luxuries is a good way to frame it, because you get that extra free time and freedom sooner, but in your mind and in practical terms too, the part-time work pays for that extra luxury kind of spending. And so that can help us frame it in a useful way, because we're able to leave work sooner if we have a simple kind of situation going. But if we want these other luxuries, it's going to take more of our time in terms of part-time work in this case. And that's the case whether we're going for full financial independence or not, because the higher our spending, the longer it's going to take and the more savings we need. So I think framing it that way might be helpful for some people.
Yeah, you can definitely see how that would create a strong mental link between luxury spending and needing to work, and then having a more healthy relationship with how you decide to spend money and work.
Mm. And then you can decide as each year goes, okay, how much extra optional kind of luxury spending do we want this year? 10 grand or 30 grand or 20 grand? And you can scale your part-time work up and down maybe to account for that.
Yeah.
So it's just an idea, I think.
So with semi-retirement, just like full FIRE, things might not go according to plan. You could be working longer than you want. You could still be forced to work, which is not quite the same as complete freedom. But by the same token, that could actually be a positive because you're still in the workforce. If things don't go according to plan, that could give you a lot of security and comfort that you're still able to keep working, maybe increase your hours a bit if you need to. So it's a bit more flexible, let's say, than jumping out of the workforce and out of your profession for several years or decades. And of course, final thought here, you're likely to earn some type of income later anyway. And there's a lot of people that don't actually want to stop work entirely in any case. So stepping down slowly may work better, and it may bring forward that lifestyle that you're after when you don't want the full retirement in any case. Even if you had all the money, you wouldn't want to stop work entirely in any case. So why wait longer to bring forward that lifestyle you want right now?
Yeah, I think that applies to a lot of people, to be honest.
I suppose it's just the mental challenge of taking that first leap.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, it's a big step. All right, so just to cap off a little bit, I think most people aim for complete financial independence because it's such a gripping and such an exciting thought, but not many tend to aim for semi-retirement. And I think it's a little bit of a shame because it would, when we're looking at the pros and cons and how it would play out in practice, I think this kind of situation would suit a lot more people than the amount of people that actually pursue it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, certainly, certainly.
And in pretty much all cases, you'll also become fully financially independent anyway. So that's something to remember. You just end up getting a lot of the benefits much sooner. So you get a lot of all that good stuff we were talking about, and that arrives on your doorstep in a smaller amount of years than if you're going for the 100% race to the finish line.
Yeah, and it may bring that freedom forward to a point in your life where it's more useful to you. Like if you've got really young kids, like sometimes it's better to have the time off, or I shouldn't say sometimes, I would say most of the time, it would be better to have the time off when you have really young children instead of waiting till they're teenagers and they probably don't want to spend that much time with you anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even when I was at work, I felt bad leaving my dog at home. So I wanted to, that was part of the reason I wanted to stop work, to spend more time with my dog, because that's why I got him. So,
and now you can do that.
Yeah, exactly. So we hope we've given you a bit to think about today in terms of the different options regarding semi-retirement and how it doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of deal with financial independence. I think it's a really great option for people who might be a bit dismayed at the thought of working full time for the next 10 or 20 years and having this very long, very maybe arduous journey to go through, when in all reality they can get a taste of freedom much, much sooner than they might otherwise think they could.
Yeah, spot on, Dave.
All right, so that's it for today, guys. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it a lot and we love reading them. And that's it. So we will see you next time. Thanks for listening.